the place. I'm looking for the place. Yes, I'm looking for the place about the influenza epidemic information. I mean, I've been walking for blocks, every block. There's one of those sandwich boards that says free flu shots. Well, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for some information about how nature can help you. Huh? Oh, is this the place then? Is this Dr. Heather speaking on the influenza?
Oh, hello. You're the woman I met at Froman's bookstore. Glad you could make it. Have a seat. It looks like you've come a long way. We'll make it worthwhile for you.
Welcome to the podcast series, Transforming Trauma, with Dr. Heather Harrington. Today I have Dr. Alec with me, also known as Dr. Hakuna Matata. He has a great sense of humor. But today we're talking a serious subject, which is reflective of our book, Surviving and Preventing Serious Consequences in an Influenza Epidemic Using Naturopathic Medicine. So I'm going to just ask Dr. Alec what he would do if he had heard that there was an influenza epidemic on the horizon somewhere. What would he do for his family and for his patients?
Thank you for having me, Heather. So if we think, you know, that the influenza epidemic is coming from another country or from around our country to our region, I would definitely start working on my health as soon as possible. I would eat right. I would definitely eliminate as much of a sugar as possible. I would start doing nutrition. I would add supplementation such as vitamin D, vitamin A, zinc, and other nutrients. I would start drinking tea such as elderberry, ginger, and introduce sauna into daily activities because sauna helps with detoxification and improving the immune system.
Great. And so for your family in particular, would you introduce any new foods, or would you do take out any foods, or would you just have a good diet already?
Yes. So in general, we already have a very good dietary plan. And what I usually do is I would increase the number of sauna sessions we would have per week. I would also increase the dose of certain vitamins such as vitamin A, vitamin D, and zinc and vitamin C.
Right.
So those are usually would be increased significantly during the time because we're trying to prepare the body for the for the infection.
Right. Okay. So let's just go back to the sauna. What kind of sauna do you use?
So I have a dry sauna, a regular dry sauna with electrical heater. Any sauna will work, pretty much a dry sauna, wet sauna, or infrared sauna, as long as you increase your body temperature and you sweat, and then you go into a cold shower to wash it off and cool down. I think it really does not matter.
Okay, so I have an infrared sauna. I've been told that I think you can do it for less time and still get a lot of, you know, more at the surface. It'll penetrate quite quickly. But, right, so any type of sauna. And why is that? What happens with the detoxification and say, the influenza virus?
So I think what sauna does, what we think sauna does, is that it removes toxins through the sweat. And toxins interfere with immune system functioning. So that's number one. Number two, heating and rapid cooling actually increases the amount of white blood cells in the body. There's studies showing that.
Right.
And so your immune system is more efficient. It's working, you know, it can clear the viruses, it can clear the bacteria, it can, you know, it's less reactive to your own tissue, so autoimmunity decreases. It's one of the best things for health in general.
Wonderful. Okay. So let's talk about white blood cells then. So for people who don't understand what white blood cells do in the body.
So they have a lot of functions in the body, but one of the main functions is to, they're basically a police in our body, that they make sure that everything in our body belongs in our body. And if it doesn't, they will try to clear it. They will kill it. If it's a virus or bacteria, if it's a foreign substance, they will try to remove it from the body. They will, if they see that there's a cancer cell cancer cell grow and they would kill it too. So one of the things, you know, that sauna helps also is decrease chances of cancer because the immune system is working so much better.
Right. And so is this the innate immune system?
Yes.
Okay. Because we're talking right now, for people listening, about the innate immune system. This is before the influenza virus has had a chance to get into our cells. And this is really about prevention. So sauna, perfect thing to do. Also increase vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc. Can you tell us a little bit more about what vitamin C, say, does?
So vitamin C is one of the things that it does is definitely increases, you know, the work of our white blood cells, that it helps them to function properly. Another thing, the biggest thing it does, it's anti-inflammatory. Third thing, it would be, it also helps with, keeping our immune system working properly and detoxification also.
Right.
So it basically makes sure that since we cannot generate vitamin C, we have to take it from our food. And low vitamin C has been shown that it can actually, it's very detrimental to our immune system when we cannot clear viruses and bacteria.
Right. And also, my research shows that, in fact, vitamin C can eradicate any virus, which I was shocked that we're not talking about that. Why aren't we talking about vitamin C and that everybody should be taking vitamin C?
Right. And, you know, it does, you know, if you have sufficient amount of vitamin C, it does help with eradication of bacteria and viruses. And, for example, guinea pigs can produce their own vitamin C.
No kidding.
And humans cannot. So, in general, for example, rats can do that too. So, rodents can. And in the time of stress, rats can generate up to 10 grams of vitamin C. And, you know, we probably need even more than that from our diet,
right,
especially in times of stress.
Right.
So in general, in my patients, if I see that there's some kind of a immune dysfunction, I introduce large doses of vitamin C to help them with the detoxification, with reducing inflammation, and removing the viruses and bacteria.
Right. And what's the dose that you would recommend?
I usually, depending, of course, on the patient, between 500 milligrams to 1 gram every 2 hours, depending on what is happening. Could be less, could be more, sometimes more.
So you would do that, say, if we knew there was an influenza virus coming, and what about, like, say it came in 6 months from now, would you have them on 1 gram or 2 grams a day or 4 grams?
Right. If for a just in general support, a few grams of vitamin C are very beneficial. I think we use that much vitamin C per day just from general activities, from
right.
stress, from being introduced to pollution and so on and so forth.
Right.
And some people may need even more because they're under high stress.
Right.
So when influenza is coming, you probably will probably need a lot more.
A lot more. And what do you think about liposomal vitamin C as per versus the other standard?
So because vitamin C is not fat soluble, it's not really dissolves in fat, it has a difficult time basically absorb when we actually have it through the oral, when we drink it or we eat it. Liposomal, when it's dissolved into a fat, which is what liposomal is, it's has a much better absorption. So you can get more vitamin C into the system. So, you know, a lot of doctors, naturopathic doctors or holistic doctors now use IV therapy, you know, with vitamin C to get more vitamin C into the body to help the body clear infections and toxins.
Right. I know myself, I can really feel it. When I take vitamin C, this liposomal, I can feel it. And the other vitamin C probably does something, but I don't feel it like I do. So that's why, for me, it makes sense, the liposomal. And also, IV vitamin C. I don't do IVs, but I've had them, and I know that they can really help people who really have, you know, a faulty immune system or, you know, very, they're just beginning to sort of get their health together.
Right.
What do you think about IV vitamin C?
I think it's great. Number one, what I see in the practice is that a lot of people have some kind of a inflammatory processes in their gut, so they have a hard time absorbing a lot of vitamins. That's number one, I think. And number two, if you know, we can get a bigger dose, 10 grams, 20 grams, and up to 100 grams of vitamin C into the body, bypassing the absorption through the gut.
Right.
And that helps a lot with, you know, getting the body better very quickly.
Right. And you've seen that with your patients?
Yes, yes, definitely.
And they feel it too?
Yes.
Okay, terrific. So let's go and talk about the gut. So say someone does have an inflammatory gut and they're not absorbing these things. What would you say to them in terms of getting prepared to really boost their immune system to the, you know, to the peak?
So, So the influenza season is, you know, sometime, it starts sometime in September, early up to maybe May during the year. And so I encourage all the people to start maybe once, especially with children, once they're out of school in June, July, start preparing for actually to, you know, for the next epidemic, if the next season or epidemic, if it's coming. And unfortunately, most patients that I see have compromised gut issues. They cannot absorb, cannot digest. They have bloating, they have gas, they have diarrhea, they have constipation, which shows there is a whole body dysfunction. Mm-hmm. So we always look, you know, why does it, you know, why does the body cannot function properly? Why is the gut not working properly? And we look at a lot of things. You know, we look at the stress level, we look at the diet, we look at the sleep and exercise and nutritional deficiencies. And once we start working at, which I encourage in, right in the beginning of the summer when everybody's out of school, to start you know, start working on it, start working on your stress level, start working on your nutritional deficiencies, start working on your changing your diet and so on and so forth. So when the time comes in September, everything is fairly healed and you can be absorbed. And for that, you know, we can do some certain testing, you know, in the gut to see what is going on there. We can check to see if there's imbalance in bacteria and yeast and viruses. We can, you know, see if there's any foods that cause inflammation. Certain foods can actually do that, such as sugar, you know, one of the sugars in processed foods, they can do that. So when we eliminate those, the guts usually start to repair itself.
Right. And so what tests would you do for that?
So there's a functional, what we call a functional stool test, where we take a sample of a stool, we send it to a lab, and it comes back showing, you know, relative abundance or lack of good bacteria or pathogenic bacteria or yeast, or imbalance of good and pathogenic bacteria, or even imbalance in opportunistic bacteria.
Right.
So when we see the result, then we decide, you know, how to proceed from there.
Right. And is there one substance or one food or one nutraceutical that you would recommend if something was really off?
Well, one is very difficult, but definitely I think one of the best things for body is zinc. Uh-huh. It helps with repair of the gut. It helps repair of and function of many, many functions and enzymes in the body to function properly. So a lot of people, unfortunately, you know, have low zinc, you know, because they cannot absorb or they use it for reducing inflammation, or they use it for make sure the immune system is used properly. And if there's lots of infections, usually all these people are trying to be low in zinc.
Right. So if someone didn't want to take, say, zinc, what kind of zinc, first of all, would you recommend? Used to be picolinate.
Picolinate is really good. I mean, there's different forms, but this is one of them, basically. You want to use all your nutrients or vitamins, you want to use in the what we call functional form or absorbable form, that are once we receive from the once we absorb it, it can be used right away and not processed and used into a usable form. So those are the things I think that one of the we recommend for healing the gut. But there's a lot more, of course. Vitamin D is one of the, vitamin A is another one. Right. Colostrum is, you know, we use a lot. Certain botanicals we use also. And it really depends on the patient's symptoms and what may be going on in the body. Right.
Okay, well, we can get into those ones later, or they can read our book.
Sure.
But in terms of just zinc, other than oysters, are there any favorite foods that you think are high in zinc that people would like?
So zinc is usually high in vegetables.
In vegetables.
So in general, I recommend people to have as many vegetables as they can. They should have a plant-based diet, unprocessed vegetables,
right,
something that's being grown, because we get zinc from the soil.
Right.
And if the soil is lacking zinc, then vegetables will be lacking zinc.
Right.
And getting the zinc from the vegetable is probably your best source of zinc, and because vegetables do a lot of other things.
Right, and easily absorbed.
And easily absorbed, okay. Right, with the vegetables.
Okay, great. Okay, so that's probably right now enough in terms of food. You know, you're talking about organic, you're talking about making sure that they, people have, you know, are not nutrient deficient, they're really optimal minerals and vitamins in their system, making sure that their gut is in order, doing the infrared saunas. What's something else? Like, I'm thinking now about when I've always taken a case, I always take a case homeopathically. I mean, and then I do the naturopath, you know, the more botanicals or the food at the end. But in this case, if a influenza virus is on the horizon, is there anything homeopathically you would think of doing?
Yes, actually, there's certain companies that make homeopathic, basically what is called nozodes.
Uh-huh.
They take the influenza strains that they think, you know, same as CDC, they think might be going around, and they dilute it to the point there's really no virus left.
Right.
in the actual you know, water that they dilute with.
Uh-huh.
And that can actually help with stimulating the immune system to be prepared when the actual flu virus, you know, infects the body. So it works energetically. We think it works energetically, where the body is retains memory that this is, you know, when similarly to vaccinations, where body thinks, okay, we see the virus and now we're going to attack it.
Right.
Before it has a chance to start, you know, growing in our body.
Right. Okay. So that's kind of like when it's on the horizon. And then I just wanted to say that in terms of the genus Epidemicus, homeopathy really sort of changes in terms of it's an epidemic, because as Samuel Hahnemann noted, that epidemics seem to have a totality of symptoms, and so that, say, in the Spanish flu, so-called Spanish flu, 1918, there would be like Gelsimian, there was, you know, Eupaturin perforatum, Bryonia. I think those were the three. And then in other epidemics around the world, there's been arsenicum, rust tox, and it seems like one of those, or up to three, can be indicated. So in that case, it makes it a bit easier for people. And so I think in the preventive stage, you could take that, I guess they call it influenzinum, but of what is happening right now, but also knowing that when the virus does strike, that you would have at your home, you know, a homeopathic kit, so that you could make sure that when you heard about the genus Epidemicus, and it makes it actually so much easier, because it's completely opposite to taking a chronic homeopathic case or constitutional case.
I agree, of course.
The other thing I wanted to mention were the botanicals, and there are three of those: Lamatium, elderberry, and glycyrrhiza or licorice. Do you have a favorite of those?
I personally love Edelberry. Just it's so non-toxic. It's so gentle. It tastes so well. So everybody can basically, you know, have it and drink it, you know, during the day. And it helps with just with immunity. It helps with detoxification. So you don't have to wait until the actual influenza epidemic starts or season starts. You can start drinking, you know, sometime in September, in August, you know,
and to kids prepare. Will drink it because it's and, not yucky.
Right. It tastes good. It tastes really nice, especially children.
Yeah, exactly. So there's this new research that, there's so much research about elderberry for a long time, but from the University of Sydney, I think is the latest research, and these doctors and professors really showed that elderberry has a potent direct antiviral effect against the flu virus, which is amazing because I don't hear that anybody saying that kind of thing. Well, if that's true and it does block the key viral proteins responsible for both the viral attachment and the entry into the host cells, I think we need to know that.
Right, I think it's great. And you know, we knew this for thousands of years that elderberry helps with viral infections. People maybe did not understand it, but they used it all the time to help, you know, with when they were sick or they knew the sick season is coming. And now we actually have science, you know, showing that it actually works and how it works and why it works.
Right.
So it's definitely, you know, it's great that now we finally don't have to probably worry that, oh, is this natural medicine, is actually, does it really work,
right,
or is it toxic or not? We know actually that it's non-toxic. We know that it works really, really well. So, you know, we can skip, you know, certain things that may be more toxic than that.
That's right, exactly. I think it's an exciting time for naturopathic medicine. Because the things that people saw, they observed for thousands of years, we actually have the science now. And this is such a great example with elderberry.
Exactly.
And people love drinking, well, even elderberry wine, you know, but elderberry tea. I think that someone should come up with, and maybe they have, but, you know, a whole bunch of ways to make candies and cookies and, well, that don't have, you know, refined sugar. But because it is so powerful. And the other thing that's powerful, the other two we were talking about, lomatium, which is a member of the parsley family. This has always been my favorite anti-influenza just because of the story. And that was that the First Nation people up near Lake Tahoe on the border of California and Nevada, that no one was dying. And during the so-called Spanish flu of 1918, and this Dr. Ernst Krebs Sr., this medical doctor who worked for the government, he went up there. He's from Carson City, Nevada, and he was, I guess, in charge of, you know, that area. And he noticed that no one was getting, well, they were getting sick, but they were recovering. So no one was dying. And he went up there and they said, oh yeah, this is the lomatium root. And lomatium is a rare species of the parsley family. And they would gather it up in the foothills of the Sierra Mountains, and you can, in late fall, and then they would make a decoction of it, which is just cutting up the root and boiling it. And so that's pretty extraordinary. So then with Dr. Krebs, then Max Barlow, his friend, noticed this, and he was an herbalist, so he made he made the products from it, and his daughter, Jane Christensen, now runs Barlow Herbs, so you can actually get lomatium that was known, you know, back from 1918, that it was discovered by the white person. First Nation people have known this for a long, long time. They use it as a panacea for so many things because it is anti-inflammatory, antiviral. And so there's another, you know, something was used for thousands of years and no one's talking about that either.
Correct. Yes. Right? Yes.
And it's an extraordinary powerful tonic to the respiratory, you know, mucous membranes. And it's great expectorant. It just seems to have an all around, it's just, you know, it's your buddy there for the influenza virus to get it out.
Yeah.
And the other one, of course, is glyceriza, mm-hmm. which I really love. And, you know, people say, well, don't take glyceriza with the high blood pressure, and that's fine. But you've got these, you can take it, and you could take all three. You don't have to overdo it.
Right. If you work with skilled practitioner, they know how to make sure that when you take something, it does not cause any side effects, does not cause any issues with the other conditions that you may have.
Exactly.
So, you know, I discourage, you know, my patients from self-medicating, definitely.
Right.
Because it just, you know, it's very complex. And,
it is complex.
And, you know, try to leave it to the experts. But you can, you know, do a lot of things, you know, such as, you know, changing your diet, removing all the processed foods, removing sugar.
Right.
Those are the best things to help with, you know, with your health and preventing any complications from the flu and recover from the flu very quickly.
Yeah.
Funny that we mentioned it because, you know, for the past, I would say, 5 to 7 years since I went to medical school and we changed the diet and so on and so forth, I don't remember any of us having any kind of, cold symptoms.
No, I know.
They're extremely mild.
Right.
You know, we recover in half a day or a day or so. And, you know, and my son, who has a disability, has a Down syndrome, who is predisposed to sickness and is supposed to get all this. He's, you know, he gets very, very mild colds and he recovers very quickly. And it was such a contrast from 7 years ago when he was in a hospital with pneumonias and so on and so forth.
And so tell me a bit about him, Avi. And also, would you change anything? Would you just, exactly what you do for your other children and you and your wife, this is what you would do for him? Or
right. So with my son, Avi, who's 12 years old right now, what I do is, especially in this time of the year, so we're in October right now, sometime in August, September, I basically try to make sure that he's outside all the time, as much as possible, not in direct sun. So sometime before 10 a.m. and after 4 or 5 p.m., he's outside in the sun as much as possible to get the vitamin D, get the fresh air. And so, you know, trying to be in the nature and at the ocean whenever possible. Number two, started to increase the sauna. Basically,
does he like taking a sauna?
He loves sauna. We started probably 10 years ago. I built sauna in my home 10 years ago. So we started early and he's used to now. So he can tolerate, you know, up to 200 degrees.
Wow.
Right. For 10, 15 minutes that we do a cool shower. We do it 4 or 5 times for about an hour. So he loves sauna now. You know, before, of course, you know, it was difficult for him, but I started very slow and very low temperature and build up the tolerance. So he loves sauna now. He goes to sauna by himself, you know, not by himself, with basically like a book on iPad, and he watches his favorite shows. I mean, he basically, you don't have to drag him into it. He knows sauna. He picks up his stuff and goes.
That's wonderful.
Right. So I usually I make sure his vitamin D in the blood is fairly high, you know, much higher, I think, that most doctors recommend.
Right. What do you think is a good?
I think a level about 50 of vitamin D3, 25 is good, and definitely for general population between 50 and 70 is probably great.
Right.
In conventional medicine, between 30 and 50 is considered okay. For children with disability, like my son who has a compromised immune system, I would say above 70 is probably better, but definitely not going above 100.
Right.
Somewhere between 70 and 100 is much better. So that's what I'm trying to keep him all the time, as much as I can, of course. And getting blood out of him also difficult, so it limits me how many times a year I can check for it. But I think I know his dose, and you know, it always falls. If we do blood work every 6 months, it usually falls. That's one of the important points. You don't want to take vitamin D without knowing and without knowing how much you need to take and how often you need to check for it, because you can overdose on it and can become toxic.
Right.
Another thing I would recommend, vitamin A, definitely. So we number one, we have liver, like a chicken, organic chicken or beef liver, once a week because it's high in vitamin A. Carrots are excellent vitamin A. All the vegetables that have color, you know.
Sweet potatoes is my
favorite. Sweet potatoes is excellent. We have sweet potato almost, or yams every day. So he's always on those foods that contain high dose of beta carotene or vitamin A. Another thing, you know, zinc supplementation, definitely. Again, you want to have just enough zinc, but not too much, because it can decrease the amount of copper.
Right.
And vitamin C is another one, definitely. Right. And another thing that I usually do, which is very, very beneficial, is when I see that he's starting to get symptoms of cold, such as congestion, I use a essential oil nebulizer treatment where dilute essential oil in salt water and let him breathe for 20-30 minutes twice a day. That cleans out all that gunk that's, you know, and the viruses that's actually start to, you know, get into his sinuses and his inside his nose, inside his throat. And that usually works really, really well to prevent pretty much anything from developing any further.
And so which essential oils do you use?
So in my practice, I usually encourage people to have whatever they have at home if they have an essential oil. But in general, tea tree oil would be great. Lavender would be also great. Clove is another one. You can pretty much rosemary, thyme. So any of the potent antiviral, anti-inflammatory that we use, we recommend in a diet will work actually here. And sometimes I recommend, you know, use all of them at once. It's fine too.
Right.
But if you have one, it will work as well.
And so when you say a nebulizer, what does that look like and where can you buy one?
So you can buy it pretty much in any store, any pharmacy, basically. They carry them. It's designed to basically take some kind of liquid and make it a vapor. And you can inhale it. It basically becomes a mist. So it's a little machine, the compressor that pushes the air through the water and makes it a mist. And you have a little container through which where you put a little bit of salt water, saline solution, and dilute it with the oil. You don't want to use the actual oil itself, you know, undiluted. It's very, it can be very corrosive, very toxic to your tissues. And then you just put a mask on. It goes into the mask. You put the mask on the child and keep it entertained for about 20, 30 minutes so they don't take it off. And they just breathe it. And
that's wonderful.
That usually cleans out pretty much any congestion they have. It, the effect is pretty amazing because, you know, kids, if they start have a congestion at night, that usually clears it within, you know, 20 minutes. And they can sleep through the night really, really well.
Fantastic.
And just repeat it in the morning. And if you have time during the day also for a few days. And that usually takes care of any infection.
So you just have to buy the nebulizer, buy one or two or three essential oils. So it's such an inexpensive treatment.
Yeah. I learned it from Andy about 10 years ago, who was treating my son, and my son was had congestions all the time. So he taught me how to do that. And since that time, I recommend it to pretty much. It's a very nice little trick.
Yeah, it sounds great. It's easier than a neti pot.
Yes, it's definitely.
I mean, I love a neti pot for
especially
an adult,
for
but
kids,
not for a
yes.
child. It's very tricky.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. So we've talked about, let's go over it again. We've talked about the foods having, you know, no sugar, you know, high vegetables. If you're going to have meat, make sure it's organic. It's beef, grass-fed. And we've talked about vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin A, zinc. And then we talked about the gut and how that can interfere. So you really need to, you might want to get tested for that. We talked about the botanicals, whether it's elderberry, lamatium, glyceriza. We talked about homeopathy, which you can use preventatively, or you can use it, be prepared, get the homeopathics for your home, which is for the genus Epidemicus. And we've talked about this nebulizer with the essential oils. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this?
So I think one thing we did not talk in depth is toxins. So
Okay, good.
Right, I have a master's in environmental toxicology from UCLA.
Oh, you have a master's.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I, Right, it's been 20 years since I received my degree.
And it's so, just gotten worse out there, hasn't it?
Yes, unfortunately, yeah. It is getting worse. And so one of the things I think the reason we have, maybe a higher chance of having an epidemic of influenza is because of the toxins. So if, when we look at 1918 epidemic, one of the reasons I think this happened, and probably there's other researchers think so too, that the reason there was such a devastating epidemic and killed between 50 to 100 million people is, I think, because the Industrial Revolution started and everything right. Become toxic very rapidly. And in addition to people studied in processed foods during that time, a lot of sugar, a lot of canned foods, that probably caused, high mortality rate. And so we don't have that anymore, at least in this country. And, but we do still have enough toxins, air pollutants and pesticides, that when they are, for example, pesticides can kill our cells in the gut, our lining, they can destroy it. They're immunosuppressants, so they actually make our immune system work a lot worse. The air toxins that we get from the air pollution, from our cars, from coal, and so on and so forth, once it settles around our area in our mouth, in our nose, in our lungs, it also can cause inflammation and make our immune system not working properly, so you cannot actually start clearing the viruses. And there's many studies now showing that.
Right.
So I think that's one of the things that definitely, we have to be aware, and there's a ways to help detox from all those toxins, like you mentioned already, organic foods. And number two, there's other things that we can help to reduce inflammation. So one of them is, for example, N-acetylcysteine that works as an anti-inflammatory and actually can block the virus from replicating, from attaching to the cell, and it also helps with detoxification of all the toxins that we get.
Right.
And we get it from broccoli.
Right.
So having broccoli every day, broccoli family, cauliflower, and so on and so forth, will help with that. If you live in a highly polluted area, then there's probably
like
more
things.
Like
the San Fernando Valley?
Like the San Fernando Valley, Los Angeles, yes. It definitely helps to do a little more, of course.
Right.
Number one, getting into nature, getting the fresh air,
right.
And increasing your, again, vitamin C and vitamin D,
exactly.
And all the antioxidants. There's actually concentrated antioxidants you can take that helps decrease that inflammation that's caused by the pollution.
Right.
Sauna is another way to detox all your toxins.
Absolutely.
We talked about that. There's probably many variety of ways. Hyperbaric oxygen is another way to decrease inflammation, in the gut.
I know
in
the body. Hyperbaric.
Yes, yes.
So tell me a bit more, because I've really never used that.
You should come. hyperbaric is basically... is a chamber. It's a little chamber. It looks like like a torpedo, I guess, a tube. If you're watching movies,
big sleeping bags.
Yeah, sleeping bags that inflates. So it right. inflates, and 100% oxygen is pumped into the chamber, and the pressure develops inside the chamber. And when this happens, the oxygen goes into the body at a higher rate, and it decreases inflammation, and it helps the body with detoxification. So I bought it for my son. Now I use it with a lot of my patients. It's very, very an excellent way to decrease inflammation in the nervous tissue.
Uh-huh.
So it's and it's really good for children with disabilities, but
right.
it also good pretty much people and children with any neurological issues,
right.
such as Alzheimer's or Parkinson's.
Because it does target the
right.
nervous tissue.
Right, it does decrease inflammation in nervous tissue.
Right.
And there is a lot of people who have gut issues will also benefit with that because it decreases inflammation in the gut.
Right. Wow. So we've talked about a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
and these are all things that we can do to prepare for not just if it's an influenza epidemic, then we have to get really serious. But just the old winter favorite, which is the winter favorite or unfavorite, because it's the time of year where people, I guess at the holidays too, they just start eating a lot more sugar. I think there's a reason why, you know, maybe it's low sun, low vitamin D because the sun is low. But look at all the things we've talked about, you know, all the stuff we talked about food. I'm going to just go over it again. The main principles too is just making sure that you're really nutrified, for lack of a better word. You're nutrified and then you're able to eliminate, excrete the toxins that are coming in. So those are really the two things. And that's why like an expectorant like water and just making sure that the vitamin C is liposomal so that we've got something flowing in the body, right? We've got the good things coming in and the bad things going out. And let's just go over it again, one by one. You say one thing and then I'll say another thing. So,
vitamin C.
Yeah, liposomal vitamin C. No sugar.
Diet full of nutrients, plants.
Right. Infrared or regular sauna.
Yes, reducing stress, so working on reducing stress.
Getting into nature.
Sleep is super important.
Super important, that's right. And then, of course, zinc and magnesium. Mm-hmm. And magnesium is, of course, the mineral that really... it's the most abundant mineral in the body. So that's also, we didn't talk about magnesium, but that's another thing. So really, if you go and see a naturopathic doctor, they will monitor that. So another thing is just checking your gut function.
Gut function, I think, is important. Just making sure you're, I'm not sure if we did this, out in nature a
that
lot.
Nature, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just learn about homeopathy.
Homeopathy.
Mm-hmm. And learn about the botanicals that are...
herbs.
Yeah, herbs. Yeah. And not just lomatium, not just elderberry, not just glycyrrhiza, but there's so many other herbs, botanical medicine that people can
ginger,
learn about.
Ginger, curcumin,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Thyme, you know, all these spices are anti-inflammatory, antiviral. So if
Isn't
you use
amazing?
It in your cooking,
right.
you're already working on your protection.
Exactly. And that was another thing I was thinking, how we should really be advocating people have herb gardens.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
of
yeah.
all
Instead
these.
Instead of lawns.
Instead of lawns, exactly. Okay, great. Well, that's probably enough for people to digest today about getting ready for possible influenza epidemic or just that old yearly thing that happens. But it is true that it's really seldom that I don't know when I've ever had the flu, because I do eat well. I do a sauna almost every day. I take liposomal vitamin C, make sure to get some sun, go into nature, have these herbs in my food, eating broccoli, cauliflower, all those kind of things.
Yes.
So the next time we'll get together and maybe we'll have some more things to share. We'll just remind people. But it's been great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
And I really look forward to our book being out there, so we'll be able to tell people that it's actually in the bookstores. And that is Surviving and Preventing Serious Consequences in Influenza Epidemic Using Naturopathic Medicine. Because you know why? People don't seem to know these things. And we need to make sure that everybody does know. Get them to stay healthy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Alec and Dr. Heather. Well, that was some good. But I've got an awful lot of questions.
Well, we'll see you next time then, Ethel.